So Deuteronomy chapter 2, if you go there and we'll dig in, hopefully chapter 2 and 3, they're somewhat similar. And again, they're just a rehearsal of all the things that we've already read in Numbers. But just speaking of those things that have happened, and again, it's for our encouragement, it's for our teaching, it's for our admonishment. All of those things are there for us to learn if we have our hearts towards that way. So it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, then we turned, and notice Moses including himself in that, but there's something interesting about this. He says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. So they, remember, they were supposed to enter into the promised land. The spies came back and said, too big, too much, can't do it. And again, folks, that's there for our encouragement, because sometimes we say, Lord, this is too much for me to handle. This is too big for me. I'm so little. I can't handle anything that big, that hard. And he's already told us that we're going to. Isn't that amazing? That the whole nation would decide it was too big for them to do and they couldn't do it. Folks, it's not too big. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too big for God to handle. Our diseases, our hurts, our pains are not too big for God to handle. So keep hanging on to him. But it says they turned and they went back into the wilderness. So they're going to wander for a bunch of years. And that's what we don't want to do, is turn back from God and wander in a wilderness. We want to keep going forward, and that's our encouragement for the body of Christ, that you would trust Jesus to keep you going forward. He's the one that sustained you. He's the one that's given you life. He's the one that's gotten you this far. Don't you think he's going to go with you the rest of the way? Yes, he is. That's the answer. He's going to go with us all the way. But it's encouraging for me that sometimes we do falter and we do go backwards, don't we? But the encouragement there in verse 1 is not only that Moses was going to go with him, and Joshua and Caleb, the ones that were faithful, the ones that wanted to go forward, they went with him, and we don't hear any murmuring or complaining among them about having to turn back when they should have gone forward. Instead, they went with him. But the biggest encouragement for me is not that we might have one or two brothers or sisters that'll go with us and pray for us and be with us, is that who else went with them? God. God went with them. His faithfulness was still there, even though they didn't do what he wanted them to do, even though they didn't go forward the way that they were supposed to. God went back with them and provided for them and took care of them all those 40 years. He didn't leave them at the border and say, forget it, I'm staying here till you get back with a new generation. He went with them. Even though they were disobedient, unruly, wrong, murmurers, complainers, kind of describes us, doesn't it? He went with them. And that's what the Lord tells us in the New Testament, isn't it? I'll never leave you or forsake you. Thank you, Lord, even when I fail. And we don't want to fail on purpose and just say, Lord, forget it. I know you're going to go with me, so I'm just going to abuse your grace, and I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you just have to put up with me. That's not the attitude we want to have with our God. That's not the place of blessing. That's a place where you're going to suffer consequences. And we don't want that for you. Our prayer for you is that you would keep going forward, that you keep walking in obedience with the Lord. And that's what we want for each and every one of us. That's what we want for each other, is that we would be obedient to God's word. Well, God, you know the way that I am, and so you just got to put up with me. That's not the heart that's after God. That's the heart that says, I want my way more than I want your way, Lord. He knows the situations that you're in and the hurts that you have and the dealings with people that you have. But he can give you the strength to do it and keep going with you. And so he says, we turned and took our journey. In verse 2 it says, and the Lord spoke unto me. That's encouraging. Here's the Lord. Not only do they just get started, the Lord starts talking to them right away again. Okay, Moses, we're going a different direction. We're taking plan B. Plan A is better, but plan B is here. But I'm going to go with you, but I'm going to strengthen you, but I'm going to keep directing, and we're going to end up back here. Wouldn't it have been better instead of taking 40 years running around the desert? to just go in, because they were going to end up back here later on. And that's where they are now. And Moses is rehearsing all of this before the people. And what's he doing? He and the Lord are warning the people, don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Instead, go forward. Keep letting the Lord work on your heart and your ways. Keep letting the Lord minister to you and encourage you in all of your ways that you're in right now. He can get you through this. He can strengthen you. He says in verse 3, you've compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward and command the people, saying, you are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir. And they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Instead of saying they're going to be over you, he's saying they're going to be afraid of you. His blessing is still upon their lives, even though they were in the wrong place. He wanted to show them his constant companionship with them, his constant love for them, that he would deal with them even in their rebellion, in their wrong ways. Oh, so encouraging, because sometimes we do go those wrong ways. And we don't want the Lord to leave us in those wrong ways. But again, he doesn't want us to stay in those wrong ways. That's not his best for you. His best for you is for you to be obedient to his word, obedient to his calling, obedient to the ways that he's spoken to you about. And so he says, command them that they're supposed to go through the coast. They're going to be afraid of you. Meddle not with them. For I will not give you of their land. He had given them the land. He had promised the land for them. He'd given it to them. Even though they were unbelievers, even though they were walking in rebellion, he had given them the land. And we say, well, that's wrong. Folks, it was wrong for Israel to turn away from the Lord and not walk with him to start with. So can't he do whatever he wants to do? Yes, he can. If he wants to bless an unbeliever, who are we to say, Lord, that's not right? You bless them, and here I am. I'm following you, and I'm doing all the right stuff. And, Lord, I don't know why you're doing that. It tells us in the Psalms why he does those things. The psalmist says that why do you bless the rich? Why do you bless those that are ungodly? Why are you with them? Why are you encouraging them? And at the end of his time in speaking to the Lord, he says, then I went into the house of the Lord, and I realized what it was. You were trying to bless them so that they could come to salvation. And that's what he does with us in our rebellion. He blesses us in spite of us just to get us back to the right place and to walk in the right ways. He is such a good God. Because, folks, you and I deserve to get smoked. We have been rebellious. We have been awful. We have been murmurers and complainers. We have been all of those things. And yet he still walked with us and he still loves us. Such an encouragement. So don't meddle with them, because I've given them the land, not even so much as a foot breadth in verse 5, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. And then we come to a change that we see here. It says in verse 6, you shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink. For the Lord thy God has blessed you in all of the works of your hands. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord has been with thee, and you have lacked nothing. And you say, well, what's different about that? What's so strange about that? This is a change that God is bringing to them slowly. He's preparing them. He's ministering to them. He says, you shall buy meat of them and water from them. Well, wait a second. Didn't the Lord, all those 40 years, take care of them with water, take care of them with manna, so that they didn't have to buy any of that stuff from anybody else? Yes. So what's he doing? He's telling them it's time to grow up. It's time for you to get ready to pass in, because remember, they're at the border again. They're going to go into the promised land. He says, go buy meat from them, get water from them, because I'm showing you that changes are going to take place. I'm not going to provide all of those things for you anymore. It's time for you to grow up and to go in and do those things. I've provided for you so that you can buy those things. I've provided for you so that you can get those things. So now go do it. Grow up and start walking in the truth. What's he saying? He says the same thing in the New Testament. In the churches that Paul was ministering to, said, you've been drinking milk all these years, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, it's time to grow up and start eating meat. It's time to start growing in the things of the Lord and start walking with the Lord so that you can walk on your own, so that you're not dependent on the church body, you're not dependent on the pastor, you're not dependent on the radio programs or the TV programs. Not that they're bad, they're good, but don't be dependent on those things. You now have that opportunity and that privilege and that opening for you to get your own meat out of the Word of God. You don't have to depend on anybody else to bring it to you. Ooh, because what do babies do? They don't get up and get their own bottles at 3 in the morning. It's Mama and Papa that get up and warm up that bottle and do all of that. He says, now it's time for you to do it, for you and I to go through those things and to grow up in the things of the Lord and to start exercising the gifts that he's given us. And that's what the body of Christ is for, is to encourage, to edify, to build up, to strengthen. And that's what he has for them, and that's what he's trying to bring them to. The whole Bible is just one big instruction manual for us, and it's always the same. So it says in verse 8, when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, though the way of the plain from Elath and from Ezion-Geber, we turned to pass by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. Remember, the Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants of Lot. His two daughters had incestual relationships with him. They had sons, and they became the Moabites and the Ammonites. And he says, don't distress them. God is taking care of his people all the way along. And folks, here's a place for us to learn something, that we don't do what we think is right, that we listen to the Lord's leading. Folks, that's why we pray. That's why we seek the Lord every single day. Lord, I need your direction for today, because I'm in a new place. I don't know what to do. I need your wisdom on what to do today. He says, go this way, but don't distress them. Go this way, buy from them. Go this way, but don't take advantage of them. Other places he's going to say something different, because he knows the way that we need to go and what we need to do. We don't have a clue, but he knows everything, the beginning from the end, and he knows how to get us there, and he knows what to do once we get there. In verse 10 it says, the Emmons dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, which were accounted as giants, as the Anakins, but the Moabites called them Emims, a terror. The Horims, which dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them. And you got to stop. What was the reason Israel didn't go into the land? The giants were there. What did he just say here? Esau, even though he wasn't a believer, and his followers and his family, they defeated him. Oh, so it was possible for Israel to defeat those giants, wasn't it? Oh, and I think it's better to defeat them with the power of God than it is my own strength, because then I'll take the glory for it instead of giving God the glory for it. Oh, he was just showing Israel, you blew it. You went the wrong direction. But I'm still going to bless you. I'm still going to walk with you. But you missed an opportunity to see the glory of God in your life and defeating an enemy. And folks, these enemies aren't just the people. They're spiritual enemies that we defeat too. The lusts, the pride, the arrogance, the bitterness, the hurts that we have. We have an opportunity to defeat those things and not walk in their captivity of those things anymore. But sometimes we just say, well, I'm kind of comfortable here, and I'd rather be bitter. I don't want to let that bitterness go from my life. I don't want to let that anger go. I want to be mad at them. And sometimes we do that. And the Lord says, you missed an opportunity to see the glory of God come in, and you to defeat that pornography, you to defeat that internet pull, you to defeat that bitterness and that hurt that you've had for all these years. You missed an opportunity and a privilege of doing that because you wanted your own way and not God's way. And he's just showing them what could have been, but they didn't do it. And it wasn't there to discourage them. It was there to encourage them, because the next time a problem comes up, guess what? Hang on to God. Hang on to the things of the Lord and go forward. He gives you another opportunity and another privilege of entering into the fullness of Christ and his strength, his power, his might. Oh, it's just an encouragement for the people of Israel, for you and I. There's going to be more problems. There's going to be more giants. There's going to be more issues. But you can defeat them, because I've given you the strength for it. With God, all things are possible. Lord, help us to trust you. And he says, now rise up in verse 13, and I will get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come to the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, and the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. Sometimes, folks, we end up with the consequences rather than the blessings. Oh, but thank goodness for forgiveness, because now we get to ask the Lord for forgiveness, and he brings that forgiveness with us, and he brings hope to us. Verse 16, it says, so it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and were dead from among the people, that the Lord spoke unto me, saying, you are to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. Remember, he's still dealing with Moses. Moses, you're going to die. You're not going into the promised land, Moses, because you misrepresented me. But I'm still going to use you until the day that you do die, Moses. Folks, we may have screwed up somewhere along the line, but the Lord still wants to use us and to minister through us and to us until the day that we go home to be with him. He isn't done with you. Some of us may feel like we're on the shelf because we've done something wrong, and we're suffering the consequences of that. And the Lord says, I still want to use you. I still want you to be a blessing, maybe not in the way you could have had, but I'm still going to use you. You're still going to suffer the consequences. But I want to bless you in the meantime till you get there. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's grace. That is pure grace, folks. And that's what our God is. He's full of grace and truth. Oh, it says in verse 18, you are to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day, and when you are come nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. There we go with the Ammonites, the Moabites, and we see all of that. Verse 20, this also was accounted a land of giants, and giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumans. That is a great word. We had a guy at one of the other churches, he used to make up shirts and just wear them all over the city and go to all the festivals and do them, and he had one that had Zamzumans on it. It was just like, oh, that's a great shirt. It was wonderful. Zamzumans. If you ever want a good word, you can name your kid Zamzuman or something. I don't know. But what a word. Some words that are great. Verse 21 says, a people great and many and tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau who dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them, and they dwelt in their stead even to this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even in the Azza, the other guys there, they came forth out of Kaphtor, and he destroyed them and dwelt in their stead. Rise ye up and take your journey, and pass over the river of Arnon. Rise up. Folks, I think that's God's encouragement to you and I today, is not to stay settled down, but to rise up. Rise up in the strength and the power of his might. Rise up in the power of who he is, not in your strength, but in his strength, because he has something for you. Rise up and take your journey. Where's our journey? We're going to the promised land. He said, rise up. Don't lay in your bed. Don't just sit there. Read your Bibles. Pray. If you can't do anything else, pray. Guess what? Prayer is the biggest thing and the best thing. Rise up, take your journey. Whatever journey that is, whether it's taking care of your family, whether it's taking care of the grandkids, whether it's still working, whatever it is, rise up and do it. But don't do it in your strength anymore. Do it in His strength. That's what the Lord is trying to tell us. Rise up. Well, Lord, I can't get up anymore. You can rise up spiritually. You can rise up above the things that you're in right now and rise above those things because He has something great for you. Behold, I've given them into your hand, Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Folks, there's a time to rise up and contend in battle, and there's a time to settle down and just be before the Lord in worship. But He tells us when to rise up, when to settle down. We think that we know, Lord, I got this one. I'm rising up in battle. And He says, what are you doing battling? I never told you to get up and go battle. I told you to sit down and pray. Oh, but how are you going to know that if you're not listening? Every day is different. We see something before us and we think, well, this is a battle. And He says, it's not your battle. That's for somebody else. How do you know? Lord, you told me. Are you asking the Lord what's yours and what's His? What's somebody else's? Or are you just thinking, because I've walked with the Lord this long, I know when to battle and I know when to sit down? No, you don't. Look at all the time Moses has been with him and the Lord is still telling him what to do and when to do it. Are you better than Moses? Does the Lord talk to you every day in an audible voice? He's talking to Moses, sometimes multiple times. Lord, help me to learn. Help me to keep growing. He says, this day, in verse 25, I will begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of thee. There's going to be a report that's going to go out into the world. Well, how? There's no internet, Lord. Do you think God has got His ways? When the spies came into the land and Rahab hid them, she said, the whole city is in fear of who you are. The strength has gone out of us. How did they know? They heard. What did they hear? God was speaking. Oh, boy. Well, Lord, I got to show them how powerful I am. No, you don't. You have to show them how godly you are. Oh, remember when Samuel went to anoint David as king and he went and he saw Eliashib? He said, this must be the one that I'm supposed to anoint because he's big, he's strong, he's mature. Look at his hair. This guy is godly, man. This has got to be the next king. And the Lord said to him, don't look on the outward appearance. You just look at what I can do for you. David, a weak little 14, 15-year-old kid facing a man trained in battle, a giant, 9'6", huge, had an armor bearer that carried stuff that David couldn't even pick up. And he told David not to be afraid. Didn't matter how big Goliath was, because David's God was bigger than any man, no matter how big. And it's the same for you and I. Those giants in front of you may look big. The disease may look big to you. The hurt may look big to you. The diagnosis may look big to you. But God is bigger. You trust Him. Lord, nobody talks to me. Lord, nobody knows I'm even here. You don't look at what men do. You look at what God does. He's talking to you. You listen to Him. So he says in verse 26, he sent out messengers out of the wilderness of Kedmonoth unto Sihon, the king of Heshbon, with words of peace. He gave him an opportunity. Hey, you can surrender or we can beat you to pieces. And isn't it amazing? Israel is still doing that. Did you know that? I know the news doesn't tell you, but before Israel goes into places in Gaza, in other places, they send out leaflets saying, get out of the schools, get out of the hospitals, because we know that's where the armies are, that we know that's where the weapons are. They drop leaflets from planes saying, get out of there, because we're coming and we're going to take it over. But the enemy puts the kids there, so it looks like Israel's the bad guy. Folks, what you see on TV is not truth. You listen to what truth is in the Word and let God deal with it. So let me pass through the land, in verse 27. I'll go along the highway. I'll not turn to the right or to the left. And then you shall sell me meat for money that I may eat and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on my feet. And the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, or as the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwelt in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord our God gives us. But Sihon, the king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord God had hardened his heart, hardened his spirit, because his heart was already obstinate. It says he was already obstinate, he wasn't going to do it. So the Lord just gave him over to his ways, much like he did with Pharaoh. Remember, it says in Scripture that Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, and finally the Lord said, I gave him over to his hardened heart. The Lord didn't harden his heart. His heart was already hard. God just gave it over to him and said, you want a hard heart? You've got it. That he might deliver him into your hand as it appears this day. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I've begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that you may inherit the land. Begin to possess. How do you take possession of something? You give it as an offering unto the Lord. Lord, this is yours. Show me what to do in this land, because I've never been here before. And he gives us land. He gives you victory over the internet. He gives you victory over your hurts and your bitternesses, over your diseases. He gives you victory. How do you possess it? You believe it. And you start acting like it's yours. You don't sit there and say, well, when I feel like it. No, it doesn't go by your feelings. It goes by what God says. He said to Israel, this is yours. Begin to take advantage of it. Begin to possess it. You build homes there. You make lives there. And that's what you do. You abide in the truth of God's word, just like he says. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord, our God, delivered him before us and smote him and his sons and all his people. Look at what it says. The Lord did it. There was not one soldier that stood there, not one commander, not one man named Moses that stood there and said, I did it. God, you did it. Folks, we don't have anything good. God gives us everything that's good, and he's the one that does it, and you give him the glory and you give him the worship. You don't glorify yourself. It's one of my pet things when people say, I found the Lord. And I believed on the Lord. Folks, you did nothing of the sort. God did everything. He came to you. He gave you the gift of faith to even believe on who he was. He gave you everything. You didn't do anything but just trust what he already said. And that's the way it's going to continue the rest of your life. So get used to it. Don't be angry with him because he's in charge. He's your master. He's the one that paid your price. He's the one that was on the cross. You weren't. And we're late. We got to get going. And we took all the cities, verse 34, at that time, and utterly destroyed the men, the women, the little ones of every city, and left none to remain. Why? Because they were going to be a hindrance. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities we took from Aroer, which is by the brink of the river Arnon, and from the city that is near the river, even to Gilead. It was not one city too strong for us. There wasn't one. Folks, there's no city in front of you that's too strong for you. Those walls are not too big for you. Jericho looked huge until the walls were flattened, and God did it. For the Lord our God delivered all unto us. He's delivered everything unto you. Only the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not, nor into the place of the river Jabbok, nor unto the cities in the mountains, nor unto whosoever of the Lord our God forbade us. Chapter 3, then we turned, and we went on the way to Bashan. And Og, the king of Bashan, I love that name. You know what that name means? Round. This was one hefty guy. Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and his people, to battle us at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, even though he's big, even though he's hefty, even though it looks overwhelming to you, you got this, because I've got it. Oh. Notice he's telling them when to go and when not to go. Folks, sometimes we go into battle because we think we need to do it. You ask the Lord first, because sometimes we're not prepared for that battle. And we're going to come out bloodied and bruised and hurt and think that God has left us and forsaken us, and we don't have a clue that he already told us, I never told you to go there. I never told you to do it. You're the one that went in your own strength, and look what happened. And again, it's a teaching lesson for us not to go when God hasn't told us. Listen to your Father in heaven. He says, fear him not. I'm going to deliver him and all his people and all his land into your hand, and then you shall do unto him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which was at Heshbon. So we've seen Sihon and Og, and these represent two different types of the flesh that are before us that they faced as they entered into the promised land. Folks, we're going to enter into battles as we go. And sometimes he'll bring them one at a time. Sometimes he'll bring multiple kings against us, won't he? Remember Abraham with the five kings and the four kings, and they went and took Lot, and he went up against them because the Lord went before him and gave him the victory. Sometimes he's going to bring trials to you that come one at a time. And folks, there's some of you that are going to face multiple problems all at once. And you're going to say, I am too overwhelmed to handle this. I can't take one more trial. And folks, my heart breaks sometimes when I see folks that are going through things. They've lost kids. They've got diseases. They've lost their job. And all in a lifetime. And it's just, Lord, that is too overwhelming. And your heart breaks for them. And you just cry for them. And he says, I wouldn't have given them that if I didn't know that they couldn't handle it, because I've given everything to them, and I know whatever I've given to them, they can handle because I've given them the strength to handle it. To me, those folks are saints who are just anointed far above any place that I'm at, because I can't even handle an ingrown toenail, much less some of these battles that these people are facing. But they've got the strength and the power of the Lord with them more than I'll probably ever see. And I am just blessed to be able to know them and to see them go through it and to see them handle those things. It just amazes me. When I whimper and cry and I'm in the corner just with a blanket over my head so I don't have to see anything more, and yet they're out there facing giant after giant after giant, and they're at peace. It's just like, Lord, why them? Because I've prepared them. Folks, you may be facing those things, but you know what? He's prepared you. Don't cringe. Certainly it hurts. Certainly it's big, but it's not overwhelming to God. He's got you. Sometimes one at a time, sometimes big things all the time. But if it comes, you know that God has prepared you for it, and he's leading you into it. Go with him. Let him show you. For the people of Israel, they saw Sihon, and then they saw this guy named Og, this round guy. And they're coming into the land. And so it says in verse 4 that we took the cities, and there was not a city which we took from them. There 60 cities they went in and took. And these people are slaves. Remember, they weren't trained in warfare. They were slaves. They knew how to move stones. They knew how to work in the fields. They weren't trained to battle. And yet because the God was with them, they won the battles. Folks, we're not trained for battle. We're shown by the Lord how to battle, and he goes before us and prepares the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. We took 60 cities, all the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og and Bashan, and these cities were fenced with high walls and gates and bars. Folks, sometimes these things are wide open. Sometimes there's walls before you. There's gates before you that you can't get through. There's all of these things that you can't do, but God can do it. These things are overwhelming. I wouldn't want to face one of those cities. And yet God said, go. And when he said go, it was because everything was ready for him to go. And we did, in verse 6, utterly destroy them as we did unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying the men, the women, the children of every city, but all the cattle and the spoil of the city we took for a prey for ourselves. And we took at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites the land that was on this side of the Jordan from the river Arnon and unto Mount Hermon. So they got some spoil this time. You know what, folks? When you win victories, you get spoil. When you get victory over bitterness, you get spoil from that, and you're able to overcome victory, and it gives you the power to overcome other things. You get something from it every time you have a victory in your life. But it's God's victories. We just get to rejoice in it. God is so good to us. We who don't deserve anything, we get everything. It's amazing. So they went to Mount Hermon. It says in verse 9, which Hermon the Sidonians call Sirion, and the Amorites call it at Shinar. And the cities of the plain, and all of Gilead, and all of Bashan, even to Salcah, and Edrei, the cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. For only Og, the king of Bashan, remained the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length of it, and 4 cubits was the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. And we go, what's a cubit? Wasn't that Bill Cosby with Noah? What's a cubit? This is 13.5 feet by 6.5 feet. We say, that is not real. And that's what people tell us. There's this book, Giant Cities of Bashan. It was written in 1867 by Reverend Porter. And in here it tells of the exploration of the cities of Bashan. And they found a bed in one of the cities, 13 feet long, an iron bed. What's he saying here in his word? These books just confirm what God already said. A normal king-size bed is 6 feet 6 inches by 6 feet 3 inches. This bed, 13.5 feet by 6.5 feet. Whoa, that's one big mama bed. It's for a big round guy. Amazing. God even gives details of the size of his bed. Do you think he knows what's going on? Do you think he knows the hurts that you're facing? Do you think he knows the things that you're forgetting? And the older I get, the more I'm forgetting. It's terrible to walk from one end of the house to the other, only to stand there and look in the doorway and go, I have no idea why I'm here, but I know I came here for something. And then you got to go all the way back to the other side of the house and find out what it was, because then it's there that you remember. And on your way back, you see something else and you stop and pick that up. And then you forget again why you went there. And finally, you get through the day and you have not accomplished one thing, but forget 43 things. God knows. He's taking care of you. He's going to get you there. You trust him. So it says in verse 12, in this land which we possessed at the time from Aroer, which is by the city of Arnon, in the half mount of Gilead, the cities thereof gave I to the Reubenites and the Gadites. Remember, they're on the other side of the Jordan. And it says that Moses gave them to those people, because remember, they didn't want to enter into the promised land. These are your quarters. Sometimes, folks, we get what we ask for. And they said, we don't want to go any further with you, Lord. And he said, okay, you can stay here. But those 2.5 tribes were the first tribes that were overrun by the enemies when the enemies came. When Babylon, when Assyria, when they came, those 2.5 tribes were the first tribes that were ravaged and taken captive. They didn't enter into the safety of the Lord. They didn't want to go any further. And folks, sometimes you get tired. And I understand that. But you don't want to stay where you are. You need to keep going, because God has got something better for you at the end. It may not look better, it may not feel better, but it is, because God is there. You trust God, you trust his word. The rest of the chapter, read on your own, because we don't have time, but it's just more of that. Sometimes, folks, the enemies are going to be there, but God is going to tell us how to occupy those things, how to possess those things, and what to do with them. We don't know what to do with those things. God does. We don't know when to do it, but God does. He's got the timing down. He's got the way down. He knows what to do. He's moving things in history that we can't even imagine what's going on. And yet God knows. We think that we're in control. America thinks sometimes they're in control. They just took out a terrorist in Nigeria, one of the biggest terrorists in the world, and they nailed him because they knew where he was. But you know what? God knew where he was before we even found out where he was. And you've got terrorists that are against you, but God knows who they are. And he knows how to take them out before they get to you. You let God take care of it. You fight the battles he tells you to fight. You don't have to enter into the battles that he hasn't told you. But you listen to him. Folks, you aren't going to find out without being in your word. You aren't going to find out without prayer. You aren't going to find out by just coming to church once a week and saying, well, that should take me through the week. It ain't going to work. These people were with God 24/7, every day of the week, every hour of the day, just like you and I need to be. It's not just a once a week thing. This is an intimate relationship that goes on every hour, every day. God bless you. And he does, doesn't he? This is great. So hang on, folks. The battles are on, but you know what? The captain of your salvation is stronger than anything the enemy can bring at you. Discouragement is nothing to the Lord. He can bring encouragement. But if you're not listening, all you're going to see is discouragement. All you're going to see is the heartache. You're not going to see the joy that's beyond it. What did it say about Jesus when he was facing the cross? He did it with joy, seeing what was beyond the cross. He didn't want to go to the cross because he knew it meant separation from his Father for the first time ever in his existence. And he didn't want to go through that. And he was sweating great drops of blood. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross to get to the other side. Folks, sometimes we have to endure some of those things to get to the other side. But God is there. That's why we keep going. But you have to know when he's telling you to go and when he's telling you to stay. So, Father, help our hearts, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, that you would just speak to us, Lord, in the stillness of this time, in the stillness of these ways, that you would just speak to our hearts of the things that you have for us, Lord. We've seen so much. And yet, Lord, it's all common to every one of us because we see these things in our own lives. But, Father, they're not uncommon to you. You already know the end from the beginning and how to get us from A to B and B to C all the way through. And so, Lord, we want to trust you and we want to glorify you in it, Lord. We don't want to take any glory that belongs to our Father in heaven. So, Lord, help our hearts. Be with us today. Speak to us, Lord. Minister to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.